conceptions contrary to Tawheed. The central teaching of religion is belief in God. For Islam, belief in God serves as the root from which other beliefs and obligations shoot out as branches and leaves. Belief in God is fundamental. Other beliefs are in the nature of elaborations or corollaries of this fundamental belief. The principal element of belief in God is belief in the oneness of God. The Holy Prophet, on whom be peace and the blessings of God, from the announcement of his office as prophet right up to his death, kept on teaching the important and basic truth: there is no God but Allah. He suffered all manner of physical and mental tortures, but did not give up teaching this truth. When he was dying, the only thought occupying his mind was this conception of the unity and oneness of God. He was afraid lest this important teaching should decline after he was gone. He had suffered so much for its establishment. Muslims read in the books of Hadith and history about the last moments of the Holy Prophet lying ill with a fatal sickness, weak and exhausted and perspiring profusely. The sickness was growing worse. Thoughts of what might happen to his teaching now that he was going caused him much anxiety. Would Muslims forget what he had taught them for so long? Would they begin to set up equals with God? The anxiety was not about himself or his family, but about his followers, his ummah. Oppressed by these thoughts, he turned over and over in bed. And as he turned, he said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدْ. Curse of God on the Jews and the Christians, they turned the graves of their prophets into objects of worship. In saying this, he clearly meant to warn his followers against the tendency to raise human teachers to the status of God, who is the one and the only one. Prophets are only men. In the last moments of his earthly life, no other thought troubled him. He wanted his followers to remember and to worship only God. So persuasive and full of pathos are these words that, on hearing them, those who felt the least love for the Holy Prophet resolved never to even think of shirk, of compromising the oneness of God. They wished to repudiate the least tendency to set up anything or anyone as being in any way equal to God. But, reader, you are well aware that Muslims today, a very large number of them, indulge in open denunciation of a teaching which the Holy Prophet thought it necessary to warn Muslims about on his deathbed. Who could imagine that Muslims, who 1300 years earlier had laid down their lives for the defense of the pure conception of Tawheed, would begin to worship their saints and turn towards their graves even for daily prayers? That they would attribute knowledge of the unseen to mortal human beings? That they would endow their holy men with privilege over the power of God? That they would address prayers to the dead and would make offerings over their graves? That they would credit their preceptors with the power to persuade God? That they would credit them with miraculous presence in any place at any time? That they would sacrifice animals in the name of those other than God? Worst of all, they would do all this and say it is the teaching of the Holy Quran and the Holy Prophet. But, God be thanked, while the teaching of the Holy Prophet about the one God is being dishonored by Muslims everywhere, While the greater number of them are indulging in un-Islamic beliefs and actions, the grave of the Holy Prophet himself is safe from such desecration. Out of his regard for the dying thought of his Prophet, God made his grave immune to such evil use. But the graves of other great ones of Islam are not so immune. They are the scene of idolatrous activities hardly different from the activities of Hindus in their temples. If the Holy Prophet, on whom be peace and the blessings of God, were to come and see his followers today, he would not think they were Muslims, but maybe followers of some pagan faith. It may be said that those idolatrous beliefs and practices are confined only to the ignorant and the illiterate, that the educated classes are sick of them. But the general condition of a people is judged from the condition of its rank and file. If the common run of Muslims are victims of such thoughts and practices, we have to admit that Muslims have gone back on the Tawheed which the Holy Prophet taught them. The thought, "No God but Allah," is the soul and spirit of Islam. This soul and spirit Muslims have forgotten. Nor is it only common Muslims who hold these beliefs and indulge in these practices. Religious leaders and Maulvis also indulge in them and are at one with their followers in this. If at heart they do not approve of these beliefs and practices, why do they not denounce them by their words? It is obvious that they have no self-confidence. They are afraid of alienating their followers. All this is evidence of the general decadence of faith in the unity and oneness of God. True, there are puritanical sects among Muslims who think they are free from the least tendency to compromise with the oneness of God. They protest against other Muslims and think they damage Islam by indulging in shirk. But the amazing thing is that the Puritans themselves commit shirk. The difference between them and common Muslims is that whereas common Muslims set up many a saint and religious preceptor as equal to God, the elect among Muslim ulama set up only Jesus Christ as his equal. Like common Muslims, they believe that Jesus is alive in heaven. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of God be on him, the best of all prophets and their chief, is buried in the earth, but Jesus Christ has been alive in heaven now for 2,000 years. The time of his death is not yet come. They read clearly in the Holy Quran that the saints and the holy ones who are worshipped besides God are dead. Nobody even knows when they will be raised to life again. As the Holy Quran states, أَمْوَاتٌ غَيْرُ أَحْيَاءٌ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ أَيَّانَ يُبْعَثُونَ. They are dead, not living, and they know not when they will be raised. They also know that Christians worship Jesus Christ besides God. Reading this verse in the Holy Quran and knowing that Christians worship Jesus besides God, they still cannot give up the belief that Jesus is alive in heaven. And holding this belief, they still think that they believe in the oneness and unity of God. Similarly, they protest against other people committing shirk, but themselves believe that Jesus Christ could restore the dead to life. They read in the Holy Quran, وَحَرَامٌ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. And it is an inviolable law for those whom we have destroyed that they shall not return. This is God's unalterable way. The dead ones do not return to life here. We read elsewhere, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. And behind them is a barrier until the day on which they shall be raised again. From this also it is clear that those who are dead are, as it were, on the other side of a barrier. They will remain there until the day of judgment and will not come back to life before then. The above sect of Islam is the Ahle Hadith sect. They attach great importance to Hadith, the recorded sayings of the Holy Prophet, but they forget what the Holy Prophet has said about the dead returning to life. When Jabir's father, Abdullah, was dying, God asked whether he had a dying wish. Abdullah said he wished to live so that he might join the Holy Prophet in jihad and die in the way of God, that he might live again and die again in the way of God, and so on. At this God said, "Had I not promised to myself never to do so, I would have given you life. As I have bound myself to this, I shall not do so." People do not seem to remember that restoring the dead to life is not permitted by God in this world. It is his fundamental obligation not to do so. How could Jesus Christ expect otherwise? True, the Holy Quran uses the word "Uhyil Mauta," I will quicken the dead, Ali Imran verse 50. And the words are applied to Jesus, but the same words have been used in the Holy Quran about the Holy Prophet. But no Maulvi attributes to the Holy Prophet the power to give life to the dead. The Holy Quran says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi walir rasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum." O ye who believe, respond to Allah and the Messenger when he calls you, that he may give you life. Giving life, when the expression is used in relation to the Holy Prophet, means giving spiritual life to those who are spiritually dead. When such a meaning of ihya, giving life, is possible, and when we know that only God can restore the dead to life, when we know also that those who are dead will not be restored to life in this world, why can we not put a spiritual interpretation on the word ihya when it is used about Jesus Christ? Why do we attribute to these verses of the Holy Quran a meaning inconsistent with the rest of the Holy Book, a meaning which clearly lands us in shirk? These votaries of the oneness of God believe, and believe firmly, that Jesus Christ was able to create birds. Yet they read in the Holy Quran that God is the only creator. The Holy Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. And those on whom they call beside Allah create not anything, but they are themselves created. Again it says, أَمْ جَعْلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. Or do they assign to Allah partners who have created the like of his creation so that the two creations appear similar to them? Say, Allah alone is the creator of all things, and he is the one, the most supreme. And again it says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. Surely, those on whom you call instead of Allah cannot create even a fly, though they were to combine together for the purpose. They read these verses of the Holy Quran and yet attribute the power of creation to Jesus Christ, and he is one of those on whom people call instead of Allah. In short, the Holy Quran unambiguously teaches that only God creates. If anybody else were also to do so, then he also would be worthy of worship. Yet, when they come upon verses like, أَخْلُقُ لَكُم مِّنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ, I will fashion out in you a creation out of clay after the manner of a bird, Ali Imran verse 50, they think that it proves that Jesus Christ could create birds out of clay. they do not remember that a given word can have many meanings. Why attribute to a given word in a given place a meaning which is inappropriate to man or God? Why should they lend that word a meaning contrary to the fundamental teaching of God elsewhere, a meaning which detracts from the oneness and glory of God? Why should they profess pure belief in the oneness of God and yet set up equals with Him? These are dangerous deviations from pure belief in Tawheed, oneness, to which Muslims, learned or ignorant, Sunnis or Shias, of one sect or another, are committed. In the face of these deviations, nobody can say that Muslims still believe in no God but Allah. No doubt, Muslims still profess belief in this and they still recite this part of the kalima. But they also entertain beliefs contrary to divine oneness. So Muslims have moved as far from the true teaching of God as the nations and peoples who hold pagan beliefs. To correct these deviations and to bring Muslims back to the true conception of the oneness of God, Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, on whom be peace, restated and reasserted the true Islamic conception. His exposition of this conception is so true to the original spirit of Islam and so attractive that anyone who accepts it finds anew the old love of God as well as the old abhorrence of shirk, once a distinctive feature of Muslims. It restores belief in the one God and saves us from the danger of compromising with this belief. One reacquires the conception of Tawheed held by the companions of the Holy Prophet. Hazrat Mirza Sahib refuted these un-Islamic beliefs by strong arguments. He reaffirmed the oneness of God. God is one and the only one. To call upon any dead person to make offerings at the graves of the dead, to make obeisance to anyone alive or dead, to attribute distinctive divine powers or divine knowledge even to a prophet of God, to slaughter animals in the name of anyone other than God, to offer anything else to achieve the pleasure of that one, to think that any man, however holy, can persuade God to grant anything. Such beliefs or tendencies to such beliefs are compromises with a pure conception of the oneness of God which Islam has taught. Hazrat Mirza Sahib also proved that Jesus Christ, like other prophets, died a natural death and was buried underground somewhere in this world. He gave spiritual life to the spiritually dead, not physical life to the physically dead. He created as any man can create. But restoring the physically dead to physical life was not for him. He could not create life out of death, with or without the permission of God. God is jealous about his special attributes. He does not share them with anyone. The teaching of the Holy Quran is against any such thought. The special divine powers are special to God. They cannot be shared by Jesus Christ or any other human being. Those who compromise with the oneness of God in different degrees use this very defense, namely that the divine powers they attribute to certain men have been bestowed on them by God Himself, that those men have not become deities independent of the one God. Hazrat Mirza Sahib restated the Islamic teaching, the teaching which is true to human conscience and human understanding. He dispelled the darkness of pagan beliefs which had crept into the minds of Muslims and showed again the true path which had been abandoned. He did what the Messiah of the prophecy was to do.